Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, everybody? Happy Saturday. So glad to be with you once again. Time to get up and at 'em. Start your Saturday morning off right. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY, and we're streaming in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, here with you bright and early on a Saturday, June 28th, and this is bit season. I call it list season as I go through the list of the best running backs, the best wide receivers, the best quarterbacks in the NFL, because there's not truly much going on in the sports world unless you're a diehard baseball fan. You're locked in every day watching the Nats, or you're watching the O's, or maybe you're enjoying the summer of soccer with the FIFA Club World Cup games and Gold Cup games being played in the United States. I look at this as like a test. This is a test run before next year's true summer of soccer with the World Cup coming to town. Unfortunately, games will not be played in the nation's capital. The first time that a host nation for the World Cup has not had games played in the nation's capital. The reason I bring that up real quick is because DC Council cannot afford to miss a massive opportunity when the FIFA Women's World Cup comes here in 2031, and they have to get the deal done by September, by August, if that's what the Commanders are saying is true, for the Commanders to get that bid. And I don't want to miss out on another opportunity because I'm going to have FOMO next summer. I promise you that. I went to Philadelphia last weekend for a FIFA Club World Cup game. That's why I missed the show. And I saw Chelsea lose to Flamengo, but I was blown away by the support from South Americans in the FIFA Club World Cup. All the Brazilian and Argentinian teams have had the best fans in the tournament, and it's not even close. I had a Brazilian come up to me after the game. He wanted to shake my hand after his team defeated my favorite club, Chelsea. And he said, "You know, you came for beers. You came to have fun. Holiday," is what he said. I was laughing. He said, "Holiday." And he said, "For us, this is our life. This is everything." And it makes sense with the way, you know, this the Brazilian game, they get one opportunity to really see their team play. Here in America, everybody from Rio, from Argentina, from all of South America, came to America for the FIFA Club World Cup. Next year for the World Cup, I think it's going to be even crazier. And you're going to see DC missed out on a massive opportunity for a payday. Because believe me, in Philadelphia, there were 50-plus screaming Brazilians all paying for food, paying for hotels, paying for dinners, paying for cocktails. A lot of money into the city of Philadelphia that we could have had in DC next summer if we had a stadium. That's the problem. That's the one thing holding us back. Not having a stadium in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., not forcing a team to go over to Landover, and they wouldn't choose Audi Field because it doesn't have enough seats. We have one of my favorite tennis grand slams beginning on Monday with Wimbledon. But right now, I like to start the show with one thing I'm locked in on, and that is all things NBA. I mean, you guys heard me for basically 2 months straight talking all things NBA playoffs. I really enjoyed the matchup we got in the NBA Finals. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not sure they would have won at all if Tyrese Haliburton hadn't gotten hurt. But since the Finals ended, there have been a mass amount of trades, flurries galore, and I think there's going to be even more in the next few weeks and months before next season. And for the Washington Wizards, for the first time in a long time, I can truly say, I love the position they're in. And that's what I'm going to start with today. Phone lines are open. How are you feeling as a Wizards fan today here on June 28th after the first and second round, the conclusion of the 2025 NBA Draft? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We'll tackle all things NFL, Commanders, and local sports. But with the Washington Wizards selecting Trey Johnson, the number 6 overall pick, I believe they got a player with top 5 talent. And I'm really, truly taking the approach of glass half full. It could have been easy to say glass half empty. I wanted Ace Bailey. Heck, I wanted a chance for Cooper Flagg. We had one of the worst records in basketball. We had a chance to capture the flag, to pull the ace out of our sleeve. We walk away with Trey Johnson, but I truly believe he was a top five talent. And you got to deal with the circumstances that you're given. We should have had a top three pick. We should have had a top five pick. We got number six, and we walked away with a top five talent. I'm taking the positive approach. And I like the position my team is in. And so I'll admit this, season was tough. Last season was probably even more tough, but it's been a ton of losses. A year where you didn't expect a ton of wins, so you saw it coming, but it still hits you. Seeing that large number in the L column being 50 and then 60s. And like I said, I think the previous season was harder, and then you end up with the number two overall pick and a draft that didn't have that much exciting talent. That's another thing. I think Trey Johnson would have gone ahead of Alex Saar. I'll say that again and again. I think Trey Johnson would have gone ahead of Alex Saar. So maybe we got a guy that could have gone number one in last year's draft. But these two seasons combined were very tough for Wizards fans, difficult to watch. But the bright spots in my mind was the fact that this front office is committed to the ethical tank of playing the young guys. And I think Bob Carrington could be your point guard of the future. I'm hoping that Alex Saar is a stretch five of the future. Now you make a trade. Out goes Jordan Poole. Never really wanted him to begin with. In comes veteran CJ McCollum. You got vets Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart that you could move on from before the start of the season or let them play and then move on from him around the trade deadline. But everything in D.C. for the basketball team right now is part of a rebuild. With the exception maybe of Corey Kispert, who I guess has stuck around from, you know, one transition to the next here. Everything else about this team is young, and it's a project, and they're committed to it. And they've got a coach who's committed to it in Brian Keefe, and everybody in the front office is on the same page, and I have faith in this front office, and it's the first time I've ever been able to say that. You know, I stuck around for the Ernie Grunfeld years, for the Tommy Shepard years, but what I love about what this front office is doing is I truly feel like they are building a winning team the right way. I've never felt that way before, even with the Gilbert years. We got him in a trade. The John Wall years with Bradley Beal. Just never felt like we had enough pieces to get through. We're building the right way. We're playing our youth. We're not having thoughts of a playoff berth as a 6, a 7, or an 8 seed, or even the dumb idea Tommy Shepard had of going all in with Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook for a play-in tournament. We are ethically tanking, as I like to say. And one more year of that is incoming. And I'm starting to get excited about this upcoming season. And we may see a Wizards Summer League team play in July that resembles a regular season team when the regular season gets here. And by the end of this season, I'm hoping your starting lineup could look something like point guard Bob Carrington, shooting guard Trey Johnson, small forward Bilal Coulibaly, power forward Keyshawn George, center Alex Saar. You combine their ages, they're barely 100, and that's five of them. That's how young the Washington Wizards are right now. And so I really like the pick for Trey Johnson. I think it can simply come down to freshman of the year in the conference of the year. The SEC, as much as I hated on it, was by far the best conference in college basketball. Florida wins it all. They had multiple teams into the Elite Eight. Texas didn't have a great season, but Trey Johnson was your freshman of the year in the SEC and was a walking bucket and went to all the tough environments, all those tough road games in the SEC, and even an NCAA tournament appearance, and he was the best player on his team while also being the youngest player on his team. So I love the pick right there. I'm actually just kind of more obsessed with everything that Washington has done. I'm so happy that they moved on from Jordan Poole, and now Bob Carrington can get that opportunity to play 30-plus minutes a game and to shoot those shots that Jordan Poole was shooting and to pass those passes that Jordan Poole was passing, because Bob had more assists than Jordan Poole last year, and I'm not sure who had the ball more. Felt like it was Jordan Poole. So I think the future is very bright for Bob Carrington. If you paid attention, you saw, yeah, they took Alex Saar number two, but they moved for Bub, and they were so excited for him all of last offseason and into the season, and then we saw him develop, and that mid-range was so sweet. I kind of think he's a taller Chris Paul the way he can kind of push the ball into space, get to where he wants to on the court. He's a combination of a few former pros that I've seen. But, yeah, I think he's like a taller Chris Paul-like point guard. You know, not as good of a ball handler, but he can really get to his spots on the court. And I think we're going to see him really develop as a scorer and also keep those assist numbers. I think he could get to, you know, 8 assists a game maybe this upcoming season. Bilal Coulibaly is, I think, the big question mark here, because he's coming into a very important season where they're going to need to see some pop, right? Bub's still young. Alex Sarr's still young. Keyshawn George, the rest of the guys still young. Bilal's still young, but, you know, when you're going into year 3 in the NBA, you need to see some pop, because you need to see him go from, all right, he's a role player, he's a starter, can he be a star that maybe has superstar potential? Because that's what they drafted him for, was, man, this young kid has potential superstar in his mind, right? And that's what they need. This team has a bunch of projects here. One of them needs to blossom. But there's a process for this. You have to go from an NBA player, you have to prove you belong in the league, to then belong in the starting lineup, to then belong in the All-Star game, to then literally being a star that has potential to lead his team to a championship. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. How are you feeling as a Wizards fan as we sit here on June 28th? You're going into another season which your team's probably not going to win 30 games, might not even win 25 games, but are you excited for the future like I am? 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. talking all things DC sports with a college flavor. It's a ton of fun, and I'm just so fired up for what the Washington Wizards front office has done. And I don't think there's a better description of how the Wizards front office is doing it right than Grant Paulson's interview with head coach of the Illinois Fighting Illini, Brad Underwood, who joined Grant and Danny this week after Will Riley was selected in the first round. And he told GP this, quote, "Nobody saw us play or practice more than they did." Speaking of the Wizards front office, "They were so dialed into their research. They know exactly what they're getting in Will." And you know they probably feel the same way about Trey Johnson. They feel the same way about Jameer Watkins, about last year's picks. This front office is doing it right. I mean, that's a college head coach for a team that was very good and had two players drafted back-to-back telling you that, oh, yeah, there were 30 teams that come. No, yeah, nobody saw his player practice more than Michael Winger, Will Dawkins, and the team that the Wizards have in that front office. That's all you need to know right there in my mind to get excited. That's how you hit in the draft, by doing the research, by doing it the right way. And so I wanted to start this segment here by breaking down the picks each year, picks each that we made this year. Trey Johnson is a walking bucket. You know, I'm not going to go into detail about Ace Bailey. I wanted Ace Bailey. I made it very clear that I wanted Ace Bailey. He wasn't there. Next best thing is Trey Johnson. I had a scout tell me this week that they thought Trey Johnson was a top 3 prospect. I believe Chris Miles from NBA TV came on the show and said he thought Trey Johnson would have gone top 4. Washington got a guy that was top 5 at number 6, and you have to be positive about that. And yeah, he's not Cooper Flagg. You know, he might not be Harper or Ace Bailey. I'm pretty damn confident he's going to be better than Khan Knupel. Save that audio, Ben. Trey Johnson is going to be better than Khan Knupel. I just think this guy is NBA made when you think about he's a tough shot maker. He's got extended range. And the thing I'm most excited about is his lightning quick release. It almost seems too quick. I felt the same way watching a young Steph Curry, watching a young Klay Thompson. When you're getting the ball off that quick, it's almost like, how did you even square yourself up? How are you so sure it's going in? How are you so confident in your release? When you got a quick release like that, it's almost unstoppable because you can come around a screen and put it up before the seven-footer can adjust, before the guy can get around the screen and buck your shot. And he's got this ability to shoot beyond the three-point range. But also, when he gets into the paint, he's got these like other ways where he can just find a way to put the ball in the basket. I've seen one-handed floaters. I've seen fadeaways. I've seen off-balance jump shots. I've seen him kind of lift off of one leg while kind of leaning to the side and knock it down. He's got a good-looking release, and that's always important to me and for the eye test. But the quick release and the fact that he's a shot maker. And what's I think is kind of funny is when he played Xavier versus Texas, the Xavier coach who's now at Texas was talking after the game about how much of a nightmare it was for him to defend Trey Johnson in that game. SEC freshman of the year, in which was the conference of the year in NCAAs. And it wasn't even close how top-heavy that conference was. And so that's what I'm excited about, is he had to play against some of the top talent in college basketball last year and some really difficult environments. But he's young. He's going to maybe even grow. There's a really bright future. He's being compared to, like, he could develop into a young Ray Allen, right, with the athletic ability and a three-point shot that is super quick with his release. That is just fantastic right there. I'm super excited to watch him play when Summer League begins. Will Riley is, you know, when you get past, I feel like, the top 15 picks, you're looking at guys that are a project or you're kind of throwing a dart at the dartboard. And I kind of think that's like a Will Riley. You know, some scouts say he was a top 10 talent. Some say he probably shouldn't have gone out to the NBA. He is a tough shot maker. I do love how much the Wizards scouted him, but I think the thing to get excited about Will Riley is if he can get some more open shots, I think you can see him shoot a better percentage all around the court. But look, he's got the size, he's got the range, he's got the reach to maybe be like a stretch four or at least a solid three in the NBA. But look, another first-round pick. It's good to have those guys on your roster. Second round, Jameer Watkins. I got to see him play personally his first few years at VCU. He was the Atlantic 10 champion before then transferring as there was a mass exodus out of VCU. When Coach Rhodes left for Penn State, he went to greener pastures, he thought, at Florida State. Didn't end up being that way because he had two bad seasons as a team at Florida State. But his senior season or his final season at Florida State, he was one of the best scorers in the ACC. A knockdown shooter, he can slash and drive to the basket. He's known for three things in my mind. Number one, defense. Number two, hustle. And number three, how much of an athlete Jameer Watkins is. And so that's your draft picks from this year. But I think the big picture now is, well, how does the Washington Wizards front office rank their star power in terms of superstar potential? You got a ton of young players on this roster. Who's the number one in their mind that has the potential to be a franchise-defining player? A player that can lead your franchise to being a contender. And I don't think that that's Alex Sarr, who was drafted number two overall last year. I don't even think that that's Bilal Coulibaly. I think number one star power ranked is probably Bub Carrington, in my mind. I really think that they believe in Bub. I think they think that he has a chance to become a borderline all-star in two or three years. And then that's when you take that next step. It's all about this process here. But I think he can shoot 50% from the field and average 7 to 8 assists this year. And so I'm super excited for another year of Bub Carrington's growth in the NBA. And like, none of the other rookies played 82 games like Bub. That's why I keep going back to this was an ethical tank. They did it the right way while losing games to drop into the draft lottery and end up with more talent. And so, you know, you can't really say that about a lot of the other teams there that have either a coach who's coaching for his job, a GM who's you know, maneuvering things for his job. Like, everybody in Washington should feel safe in their job, and that's why I think you've created this environment where you can develop players. So I think Michael Winger, Will Dawkins, they were in a position where they could take a Trey Johnson. They were in a position that they felt like, all right, we can take Will Riley. We can take Jameer Watkins because we don't think we're going to get fired if we have another 20-win season. And they shouldn't, because I think they have a good vision. And for the first time, Ted Leonsis is hands off and letting them do their thing. And Brian Keefe, I know I have some Wizards fans that don't like him as a head coach. I think he's the right guy to develop these pieces. I don't think he's going to be the right guy to lead us to a championship, right? But when Golden State was building their team, it was Mark Jansen building out that roster with Steph Curry and developing them, and then in came Steve Kerr. And so I think there's a lot to be excited for if you're a Washington Wizards fan. How are you feeling right now after the 2025 NBA draft concluded and you got three new pieces to go along with some exciting talent that you had last year? You even have some undrafted free agents that are going to play in the summer league that are talented players. They were badass college players, so we'll see if maybe one of them will pop in the NBA. But I think there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Wizards fan. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. I am so looking forward to the Washington Commanders season upcoming, training camp, and diving into all things Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin's contract. But I feel like this is an opportunity to talk Washington Wizards just after the NBA draft. There's a lot of moving parts here. They've already made a trade. Jordan Poole out, C.J. McCollum in. They selected three players, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, Jameer Watkins, and I truly feel like this front office is building the right way. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Are you excited about what Washington is doing, and do you trust the front office building the right way? The way OKC built out their team, the way Houston built out their team. Western Conference number one and number two overall seeds. And the OKC Thunder, eventual NBA champions. Will Dawkins saw that. Michael Winger saw what it took from Sam Presti to build that team. You scout some more, and then you draft, and then you develop. And you have to develop your own talent. It's the only way. Houston hit on draft pick after draft pick. And I think it's kind of a wrong move, but they decided, all right, we were the two seed with our young talent, but we got knocked out. We got upset by Golden State. Let's go out and get maybe the best Golden State Warrior they've had, not named Steph Curry. Let's acquire Kevin Durant. I kind of think that they hit the fast forward button through their development. I would have stuck with Jalen Green. That's just me. Maybe they're going to win a championship with Kevin Durant, but they were building the right way. OKC, yes, they traded for SGA, but they drafted and developed Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, Aaron Wiggins, Kayson Wallace, traded for Hartenstein, but they built through the draft. They built through the draft. So I think there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Washington Wizards fan. And we have a lot of star power on the team in terms of potential. I think there are two or three guys here that have a lot of potential. And so I want to go through my star power ranked for the Washington Wizards, guys that I think could absolutely pop. There's nine guys I have on my list right now. Nine, Jameer Watkins, the second-round pick out of VCU and Florida State. I don't think there's going to be much for him on this Wizards team except for, hey, can he hustle? Can he play defense? Eat up some minutes late in the game. Eight, Christian Vucevic. I was excited when they drafted him. I haven't seen anything to really get me fired up. Seven, Will Riley. We'll see if the number 21 overall pick ends up popping out of Illinois. He's a tough shot maker, but we'll see. Six, A.J. Johnson, that ended up being a really good young piece that was brought over in a trade. A young, talented player that is athletic and has shown already he can make some highlight plays on the break. Keyshawn George, I got a text, a tweet from someone says, I don't know if he's a power forward, more of a big wing, could be a small forward. I thought he had a pretty solid rookie season, 8.7 points per game. He shot the ball extremely well from three-point range. At home, he was really, really good, over 35% for the season, 32% from three. I think he can really maybe stretch the floor if he can continue to rebound at a high level. I don't know what kind of superstar potential he would have. Can he maybe get to 14 points a game this year? That would be exciting. Now we get to the good stuff. Trey Johnson at number four. We just drafted number six overall. I really think he could pop into something. He's being compared to like a young Ray Allen. I do think that quick release is going to be fun to watch this year. If he can hit it at a high level, if he can hit it at 35%, you're going to see him maybe win Rookie of the Year. He's already gone up the board in terms of, I think it's the odds makers at BetMGM have him second now behind Cooper Flagg, ahead of Ace Bailey, ahead of Harper, ahead of Con Knipple, because he's in a situation with a team that just lost 20-plus points per game in Jordan Poole, but maybe more importantly, 20-plus shots at the rim every night are going to now go to other guys, including your rookie Trey Johnson. So that's part of really why I like that trade, getting Jordan Poole off the roster. And so I'm excited to let Trey Johnson shoot the ball a ton this year with that super quick release. He's just got to hit it at a high level. Three, Bilal Coulibaly. And unfortunately, you'd want Bilal Coulibaly to be number one on this list because he's the older statesman in this class. He's going into year three in the NBA. We've seen him develop on the defensive end. It was kind of like a young Denny Avdija, how it wasn't much on offense, but then this defense popped, and then maybe the offense is going to come the next year, and that's, I think, what we need to see from Bilal Coulibaly. I personally need to see a 25-point performance on back-to-back nights from Bilal Coulibaly. Like, that's what would make me feel like he can take the next step offensively, but they're going to have to make a decision on him because, you know, he's played a few years in the league now. We need that big step forward, that big leap towards eventually becoming an all-star. I put Sar at number two because there's just so much to love about his size. I think that Trey Johnson would have been selected ahead of Alex Sar, but he's just 20 years old. He's 7 foot. He can hit the outside shot, and that's the way the NBA is going. That's the way the league is going. Can you be a superstar at that size, with that skill set, if you're Giannis or Jokic or Karl Anthony Towns? Alex Sar, I think the next step in his game this season is got to be more confidence on the offensive side of the ball. The ability to get to his spot and hit it at a 50% mark. I mean, at 7 foot, in my mind, you should never shoot below 40% in a game. And, like, he did that multiple times last year, 35% against Philly, 38% against Boston. You can't do that at that height. You know, you're too close to the rim. And if you're not too close to the rim, that's a problem that you're having with yourself there, just falling in love with the three-point shot. You can be 7 foot and hit a three, but you also got to be able to grab an offensive rebound and dunk it back in. And number one on my list is Bub Carrington. And I was most excited for him when he was drafted last year, because I watched him play in the ACC. I actually had an interview with his college coach, Jeff Capel, that told me that this kid was going to be a star. He has so much work ethic, and he wants to be so great, and he's going to keep working at it, and he's so young. He's so young, but he's got the size. That's 6'4". He's got the wingspan. I really believe that we're going to see this guy who was almost 10 points per game, almost 4 rebounds and 5 assists. I think you get up to 15 points per game and 8 assists this season because he's going to have the ball in his hands. I really think this front office is saying, hey, Bub, we traded Jordan Poole so you could go run this offense. You could show us your full potential. Let's see you blossom. Let's see you shine this season. And so Bub Carrington is my number one. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. Mark, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Top of the day to you, AWOD. Shout out to Ben, and shout out to my man Little. And, man, I couldn't put it any better myself, Adam. Man, I'm tickled with their draft, buddy, just like you.
What was your favorite part of the draft? Is it Trey Johnson at number six?
I think so, Adam. I do. I see a pattern, and I think they're outfitting themselves well to get some better shooting percentage, like you were just talking about with Bob, and they need some younger skin. And all something else, too, Adam, I think some of the veterans that they have, a few of those guys are still going to play and shine. I can see it happening and having the right attitude, Adam. And I mean, you grow together, you work together. It's going to get better with Bilal, too. I can see it coming. I'm telling you, Adam. It's something to be psyched about for this area, because we should always be a basketball power. You know this, Adam.
Yeah, it's been frustrating being so bad at basketball for so long. But, you know, Ted Leonsis finally took his hands off and put the right people in charge.
I believe you're right, Adam. I believe you're right totally. I think, like I was telling Ben, that there's adults in the building at the MCI Center, and it's making a big difference already. You can see it. It's a lot to be happy about, and I think some of the young guns, like your list of nine, I agree with most of them, but, man, I think there could be some shuffling around in those numbers, and I can see the lineups being really shuffled a lot this year, and a lot of guys are going to get some playing time.
Yeah,
but I think,
right,
like you said, a few of the guys have got to show up. You know who they are, Adam.
Yeah, good call. I appreciate you chiming in. I mean, look, to be honest, we are talking about an 18-64 basketball team. All right, so let's not get too excited here. I mean, I'm sounding like a bit of a homer here. You know, this team's not going to win probably more than 25, 26 games, but they're 18-64. Well, how many other teams that were really bad were playing all of their young guys? And so I think that's the part to be excited about, is that you got 82 games for Bob Carrington under his belt. Before Bilal got hurt, you got him into the starting lineup. You got Sarr a ton of action. And, you know, as he pointed to there, you got some veterans that are good teammates. Marcus Smart wants to be on a contender, but all the young guys loved playing with him this past season. It was talked about in interviews. I think Chris Middleton, he's kind of one of the mid-range masters of the NBA. Could be a great guy for Bob Carrington and Trey Johnson to learn from. C.J. McCollum, he's the freaking president of the NBA Players Association, right? That's a great teammate right there. It feels like a full circle moment for me, because I've been a McCollum fan going back to his college days at Lehigh. I saw him play in a game at VCU. I was like, my goodness, this guy's a stud. And it's great to see how he's developed. And when you realize he's only 6'3", Bub is 6'4", right? We're going to have him next to Trey Johnson as well. Like, these are guys that can really learn from C.J. McCollum how he, like, stayed in the NBA with his star power. I mean, think about it like this. About 10 years ago, it was Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum versus Bradley Beal and John Wall. Which was the better backcourt? Well, Damian Lillard's not on the Trailblazers, and he just got hurt. C.J. McCollum's bounced around. John Wall's not in the league, and the Phoenix Suns are desperate to move on from Bradley Beal. See, C.J. McCollum's the one that's had the stay power of those guys, and I think that C.J.'s, if all the reports are true that he is really that good of a teammate, that he's that good of a leader, I think you're going to see these young guys gravitate towards him and just love to play with him this season. Or he'll be rerouted before the end of the season. I think the best case scenario is McCollum gets traded around the trade deadline to a desperate team looking to improve their chances of winning a championship. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Glad to be with you here on a Saturday morning. You can hear us on the Team 980 and 910 AM, 105.1 FM in Richmond, but always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. LifeWave tweets me, AWOD, I definitely like what the Washington Wizards are doing. He says, Alex Saar needs to play the four position because he'd be more skilled there. I'd be fine with that. OKC seemed to have a lot of success with Chet at the four, Isaiah Hartenstein at the five. As much as I don't love the Twin Towers approach, Cleveland had success with it as well. The NBA kind of seems to be moving towards that. I mean, to be honest with you, I could see the league in 10 years being 5 7-footers on the court. All of them can dribble, all of them can pass, all of them can shoot. This is kind of the way the league is going. Size is important. Travis tweets me, AWOD, I was going to tweet you, but you literally said everything I was going to say. Trey Johnson would have been the number one pick last year in the draft. He reminds me of a young Ray Allen. Travis says, Bub will have a good second year. Bilal needs to up his scoring to 15, 17 a game. Yeah, that's the big one. I really need to see Bilal show up on the offensive end. I did just see a video of him working out, and the ball handling looks a little bit better. I think that's going to be a big part of his game developing here. I do feel like when you don't grow up in the States, when you don't grow up playing AAU ball, your ball handling suffers. You can't play AAU ball and not know how to handle the rock. All the way, they're going to rip it from you because they full court press nonstop, right? So I think that's the next part of Bilal's offensive game is, can his handling get him to the spots on the court where he knows he can hit his shot? But then also, I'm looking for Trey Johnson and Bub Carrington to kind of drive and dish and set up Bilal for maybe an open corner three more this season. He's also got to improve that three-point shot. But Trey Johnson, your first-round pick, number six overall. I think, look, everybody's saying you got a top-five talent at number six. That's why I'm saying I don't know how anybody could be upset about that. Maybe you wanted Ace Bailey like I did. Maybe you avoided the headache that is Ace Bailey. You got Trey Johnson. You got the freshman of the year and the SEC, which was the conference of the year. There's so much to like about that pick. Will Dawkins was interviewed in Odyssey, DC Sports Radio this week, and he was asked about Trey Johnson. Let's play clip number four.
He's a pure hooper. He's like a lot of teenagers, likes to hang out and play video games and things of that nature, but he's singularly focused on basketball. We had him over for dinner, and we're talking to him, and it's me, Coach Keith, I think Amber Nichols. We're talking about a play that happened in one of the Mystics games. It was a DHO where the player went under the screen and then came back around to isolate on the other side. And we were saying it out loud, and he said, yeah, I've seen that a couple times in some other WNBA games. They're starting to do that. And that's when you realize that this dude, like, he gets it. He really loves basketball. He watches it and studies it. And that was kind of one of those things where, like, okay, the IQ is there, but the passion to get better and watch all types of basketball, like, he's a true hooper.
A true hooper that had a tremendous freshman season at Texas. Look, what he did in college was awesome. I'm just excited because I do think of all the guys that win the top 10, he's one of the top three behind maybe Flagg and Harper in terms of his game is going to develop in the NBA, is going to translate because he's a shooter, because it's the quick release, because he's 6'6 with a wingspan and a high arcing shot is going to make it hard to block. Washington brought in a guy that is supposed to be a walking bucket. And for a team that needs scoring, for a team that needs star power, that's perfect. And that's why you're seeing him listed among the top for NBA Rookie of the Year odds already. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Uptown Mo on line one. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, what's up, AWOD? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What are your thoughts?
So I like the fact that both of the Washington teams that I love have the same philosophy. If you listen to the Commanders, if you listen to the Wizards, we're bringing in ballers that love ball and love to compete. That's their thing. We don't care. Best player available. Now, I feel different about Tristan than you do. My starting five, for real, would be Tristan at the five, Saar at the four. I could mix Bilal at the three, or I like George. George, I think, had a solid year. And Bilal gets hurt a lot. I don't think anyone has mentioned that, but he hasn't been healthy the last two end of the regular seasons. And I put Bub and Trey at the one and two and just roll the ball out. My backups would be A.J., the guy that we got from Illinois.
Will Riley.
Will Riley and Jameer. And we just going to run that eight until – because I'm either going to go all the way young or, you know what I mean, and get higher picks. Now, I know that Marcus Smart and C.J. McCollum and my man from Milwaukee is on there.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, they're veterans, but they're tradable pieces for us to get more assets in the future. I want to go all the way young. I might be in the minority, but I'm trying to go all the way young. Whatever their record is whatever their record is, as long
right.
as it's exciting and we building them for the future.
I'm 100% with you on everything you're saying. I'm all in on the young guys. Give them as much run as possible. The wins and losses don't matter. In fact, you want them to be losses so that you keep your pick. You got to convince me on Tristan Vucevic. What have you seen about this young kid that you're putting him above some of these young guys here?
Well, Vucevic for me reminds me of Vujovic in Chicago, where he came on a little bit later. He has a tray ball. He has a jumper. He competes, and he's a seven-footer that can stretch the floor. He's not a big back-to-the-basket sort of person, but a pick and pop. He rebounds. I really like his game, and he's young. He's
yeah.
still young, and he's a Euro.
Can I tell you,
know you
something?
I mean? So,
can I tell you something on him? And I don't want this to be mean. I think he needs to man up a little bit and beef up. And be able to – I feel like he's around the outside too much. If he's going to be a talent in this league, I think he's got to beef up. He's got to get a little manlier down low and be able to dunk him. Like you're saying, he's 7 foot. Have we seen any big slams from this guy? I've seen a lot of threes.
No. But I also haven't seen any big slams from Jokic. What I'm saying is, yes, he does. The NBA is a big man's game. Like, you have to be stronger. But he's going to allow Star to – reach his level at the four. Saar is not a five. I don't know why they keep trying to pencil him as a five. He's not a five. His skill set represents a four. He's a KG, Anthony Davis. He's a four.
Yeah.
So let
But
him
Anthony
four.
Davis won the title with the Lakers at the five, you know? So and Anthony Davis got traded out of Lakers because he didn't want to be a five.
Right, but he had Dwight Howard coming off. People don't remember that 2020 Lakers had Dwight Howard, and they also had JaVale McGee so that Anthony can play the four.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
Well, look, the twin tower approach is the way the NBA is going. So if you want Vucevic and Saar with each other, I'm fine with that.
I appreciate it. And I'm telling you, the youngins coming off the bench, it's going to be a fun model. I hate the trade that the Rockets made. I love KD. I'm a KD fan. But I hate the trade. The
yeah.
man had one bad playoff series. The
right.
man
and
had
they were
one
building the
play-
right way. I don't know why they kind of changed everything they were doing. That's the approach I don't want the Wizards to take. Don't go get an overpaid Durant when Jalen Green and all these other guys were developing together. They had a nucleus.
Yeah, not even the overpaid Durant. I'm 17 years in the league, Durant, and the man I traded is 3 years in the league. Like, I don't get that. But, A.Y., you're very entertaining, man. Get home safely.
I appreciate it, man. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.